This morning we start a new series on prayer. We're calling it Why Pray? Not sure why, but that's what we're calling it. And that's the question we're going to answer. We'll think about the reasons later on. This morning we have two texts from the Old and the New Testament. So before we get to that, please pray with me. Loving God, we just ask that by your Holy Spirit, you take over at this moment, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our first text is from Exodus chapter 3. Verses 7 through 10, which are the words of the Lord that come from the burning bush. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians. And I will bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. It's always fun. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And then all the way over in Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel with a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given a great quantity of incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. May the Lord grant us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So, we have two texts this morning that come almost at the beginning and at the end of our Holy Scriptures. Pretty much the first story probably told by God's people to this last story that we find in Revelation. And both texts tell us a lot about our God and our prayers. The first story from Exodus has Moses standing before the burning bush, and God tells him why he's being sent down to Egypt. It's because God has heard the cries of his people. God hears the people crying out in their suffering and misery and says, I've heard them. I know their pain. I know their suffering. Now I call you to go and set them free. So we get this clear picture in Exodus that the whole beginning of God's movement to bring redemption and salvation to his people begins with their cry for help and him seeing their need and their suffering. Now, John uses a little bit different language and maybe a little more imagination than the writer of Exodus, but basically what John is trying to give us is this picture of what it looks like when God hears the cries of his people. And what John shows us is this great heavenly throne room. If you can imagine one of those ancient temples with wide open spaces, and there in the front is God seated on his throne. And around God are these living creatures and angels and saints. This imaginative picture of all of creation standing before God. And in the midst of all of that is Jesus pictured as this Lamb. And all of the heavenly hosts sing out praises to God and the Lamb, just as we did earlier. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But in this particular part of John's vision, the singing has stopped. And there's this silence in heaven. All has been silenced. And in the midst of that silence, this angel with this golden bowl comes forward with this great amount of incense and pours it on this altar of coals. And as you can imagine, the lovely sweet smell rising up and see the smoke rising up, John says that as that smoke lifts up toward God, that it is this compliment, this bonus that's added to the prayers of all of God's people that rise up before God. And in that hush in heaven, we get the sense that all has grown quiet, so that this, as the smoke rises, that everyone listens as the prayers of all of God's people go up. And when the angel scoops the fire and sends it down to earth, we get this very graphic picture of God answering the prayers. The smoke rises up and the fire goes down. The prayers rise up and God's response comes down. In both of these texts, we are assured of the truth that our God hears our prayers and responds. But there's kind of a bit of a rub there, though, right? Because why the fire, right? Why has it got to be fire poured down? Why does there have to be lightnings and rumblings and an earthquake? What's that about? You know, why can't it be rainbows and flowers or whatever, you know, that comes down? Well, our first temptation might be to blame John, right? This crazy guy has this revelation. We try to read this book. We don't understand anything that's going on in there. He's just got crazy ideas. But we can't do that, because if we look back at the Exodus story, though we get the little hint of the land of milk and honey, we don't get there until God sends Moses and the plagues come on Egypt. 10 plagues that are horrific and destructive, and this rumbling and lightning seems calm in comparison in some ways. So we can't just blame John. It's something else is going on there. And really, if we read the rest of John's text, really what it is this recasting of those plagues that came on Egypt on a worldwide scale. Because the people of God is now a worldwide people. It's those same plagues and disturbances come again throughout the whole world. And the reason why John does this is because in John's experience, what John sees in his world are these Pharaoh-like forces that are at loose in the world and are destructive and binding up everything. And in order to loosen them, things have to be shaken up in a dramatic way. John even goes as far as to say that behind these forces that he sees, there is this great dragon that is a representative of all that opposes God, the Lamb, and their children. And that this dragon has been given some kind of control over the world to actually be in charge for this time. And so, in order to remove the dragon, there has to be this just dramatic shaking of everything. Now, in our experience, we might be able to get a glimpse of what John is talking about. If we think about, if you know someone who's ever struggled with an addiction, the way that takes hold of their life and just brings so much misery and hurt, and for them to get past that, it takes their life being shaken down to the foundations. Their life sometimes literally has to crumble apart before redemption can be found. That's what John is saying. That's why there's rumblings and earthquakes, because that sometimes is what it takes. And we can think about in our world, there's addictions that are writ large over not just one person's life, but the ways that are grasping after power and wealth and and fame can lead to all this misery for so many while so few are lifted up. John is saying that if we are going to overcome those things, sometimes it takes a great shifting. I think about, I'm reminded of our these institutions that we have that are damaged and damaging to people. If you think about just our education system, how drastically unequal it is, how so few people are promised opportunities out of it, while so many others are woefully underserved. I used to be in that system, so I know. If you think about how you would bring about change to the point where we would say, this way of nurturing and educating our children is worthy of God's reign, that would take nothing less than this terrain-altering kind of shaking to see that come about. So that's what John is hinting at when he gives us these drastic images. So when we pray, when we come before God with our concerns about how our lives are taken over by these forces, what John also wants us to hear is that in the midst of our prayers that are rising up, we also have to see the prayers of so many others as well who are taken in and captive. For there's this little word in John's picture that he gives us when he shows what's happening as the smoke rises. He says that is a gift that goes along with the prayers of all the saints. That little word all tells us something. It tells us to look not just to our own concerns, but to the concerns of all the saints. And saints is not just people who've been particularly holy. It's a shorthand word for all of God's people, all of God's children. So as we sit there in that silence in heaven and we watch that smoke rise, as John shows us that picture, John is asking us to see in that smoke the cries of the children whose lives are crushed by poverty and hunger. In that smoke, John is asking us to see the places and the cries of the people who don't have drinking water. The people who cry out because they are being persecuted for their testimony about Jesus in parts of the world where they just not even living out their Christian life is safe. When we pray, John is asking us to see as that smoke rises up to heaven that we look and see the prayers of all of the other of God's children that are rising up alongside ours. That when we pray, we not only pray for ourselves, but we pray that our prayers will be joined with all of those who are praying that the domain and dominion of the dragon will come to an end and the way of the Lamb will be all in all for all of us. When we pray that the forces that bring so much damage, destruction, and death in our lives will be destroyed, will be shaken to their very foundations and cleared away, and God's kingdom will have a clear path to come in to our lives and the lives of our world. There's something else, though, that happens in that silence, because we know that God hears our prayers and we know that God is going to act. There's a way that John is saying in that silence, it's not an empty silence. It's so full of God's impending kingdom coming that it forces us to take a look at ourselves. It forces us to ask, are there ways that we play a part in those Pharaoh-like powers that are keeping God's kingdom out of this world? That silence is also this time when we look at ourselves and say, Is there a way that I participate in what the dragon is doing? Is there a way that I am closing myself to what God is doing in the world? Is there a way that my heart has been hardened to the cries of all of God's children throughout the world? We're asked in that silence as we wait for God's kingdom to come, when we have that, as John says, about a half an hour before the kingdom comes, we're asked to pray a prayer of confession, to say, to acknowledge the ways that there are things that we have done and there's things that we've left undone that keep God's kingdom from coming into the world. Just a moment in that silence to pray, because we know that God is listening, to pray for the ways that sin and evil have taken hold in our lives and we cry out for help. It's time in that moment to pray along with all of our brothers and sisters around the world who are crying out for God's kingdom to come and come quickly. And it's a moment too for us to pray that our lives will reflect God's love and mercy. So we pray because the God who was and is to come, the God of the universe, is listening for us, waiting to hear from us. We pray for forgiveness for the ways that we keep God's kingdom from coming. And we pray so that our voices are united with all the voices around the world who are calling for God's kingdom to come. We pray because in the presence of God, we are given the comfort, hope, and courage to say the words that John says in Revelation, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Amen. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for this vision that John has given us, that as we join together in prayer, we know that our words and thoughts, our very lives, rise before you, that you hear us and you move to save us. We pray that we will be open to your coming into our hearts, into our lives, and into our world. Lead us and guide us by your Spirit. Amen.